Welcome back to Talk of the Town on 99.7, 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town for this Thursday, January 26th. I'm Gary Stevens. Very pleased to put this organization on our rotation for visits on a regular basis here on Talk of the Town, the Zeeland Board of Public Works, one of our municipal utilities. Andy Boatwright joins us from the Zeeland BPW. Andy, good morning. Welcome back and Happy New Year, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year to you, and thank you for having me.
If you have a question about Zeeland BPW in particular, but also about municipal utility services, water, electricity, wastewater services, and you'll be happy to answer it at 616-395-1450, 616-395-1450. As we conduct the interview on this January 26th, Andy, it is snowing outside, not a lot of snow, but certainly a reminder that winter is among us. And the memory of the heavy snow that we had over Christmas weekend is still very fresh. One thing that I think we can definitely say, based on what we had gone through over Christmas weekend, was the fact that, for the most part, electric service was maintained in this storm when there were some discussion that it could be adversely affected. Talk a little bit about the effects of the storm and what the effects really of winter weather have on providing electrical service.
You know, snow and cold generally are not problems for the provision of electric service. They can be problems for water, and that can result in frozen main lines and service lines. We did experience one main line break during that period of time, but what we're finding here of late, and I talked to you about this in a previous interview, is capacity concerns. And on the 23rd, you know, it was very cold. Everything was fine from a distribution standpoint, but we were receiving messaging from our grid operator, MISO, to be prepared for conservative operations. We have generation on system, and as a result, we need to participate on the grid per instructions from MISO. When there is a capacity shortage, they call on us to run all of our units. We have 36 megawatts of on-system generation, and they're peakers. They do not run 24/7, 365. They run only a few hours out of each year, depending on conditions. They called on us at approximately 6 p.m. to start immediately. They didn't give us any advance notice to start up. We usually are given 2 hours to get our units up. We had to call in personnel during that blizzard, and the event was supposed to be a two-hour event. It was shortened to 1 hour, as it turns out. But you know, that's, I think, a concern for us going forward, that this is kind of a harbinger of things to come. You know, it's analogous, I think, to what's happening today with eggs, if you will. You know, we've got tremendous demand for eggs, but we don't have the supply, and that supply has been shortened because of the avian flu or something, and chickens have been, you know, destroyed. So the supply is limited, but that causes the price to go up. And that's what's happening in the electric utility industry. The supply of generation is not available, especially during the peak times. And it could be a maintenance issue. It could be because we phased out some fossil fuel generation, you know. But here we are. And this is a sign of the times.
We'll talk more about that in a few moments. There's one more weather-related topic I want to bring up with you, Andy Boatwright. And it's not so much dealing with a topic that might come specifically on a January 26th. But some, let's say, let's move down the road a couple of months, March 26th, when we get to a point, then, you know, maybe in the interval, we would have that, where we would have precipitation and the temperature is at or near freezing, yeah. And we have ice.
Yeah, ice is a killer. There's no question about it. You know, our distribution system is predominantly overhead facilities, whether that's, well, I said distribution, but our transmission grid is also overhead. In Zeeland, fortunately, we have undergrounded 75% of our distribution system. That helps dramatically in terms of our reliability in events like ice storms. But we're not immune. So those are times when we really are gritting our teeth, you know, hoping that, you know, that temperature stays above the freezing mark and that it doesn't, there isn't ice accumulation to the extent. I'll tell you that our lines are designed for carrying a certain amount of weight of ice. But, you know, there's always those anomalies that take it outside of tolerances, and those are the ones we're nervous about.
How much of advance notice do you like, and I say you being the utility, would like to have crews on standby for the possibility of an ice storm? I know the weather prediction science has improved so much over the last few years, but, you know, do you have to say, hey, we might get ice tonight, you might have to put workers on standby, or what?
We do take heed to forecasts, but oftentimes, as we all know, the forecasts don't yield, you know, the results that was maybe hyped up, you know, in the beginning. The ones that really catch us are the ones they don't predict well. But yes, to answer your question, we huddle up and say, okay, you know, we need to make sure our crews are available, our in-house crews, and then, you know, just kind of set the stage for in the event we need to call in mutual aid. We have a great mutual aid network through our joint action agency and our state agency. That's Michigan Public Power Agency, as well as Michigan Municipal Electric Agency. We have an established process for calling in mutual aid from all around the state and even outside the state if we need to.
Andy, when you mentioned about the fact of rising costs and capacity for generating electricity, they sort of go hand in hand, don't they?
They do.
Amplify a little bit about what you mentioned when we were talking about dealing with capacity and with costs as it related to winter, because this is nothing. This is something that's not going to go away once the weather warms.
No, I guess the way to respond to that is we provide, you know, a rate structure to our customers that effectively insulates them from transients in power supply costs. But what's happening in reality, every hour of the day, there's a price for electricity, and it doesn't always match the price that we're sending the customer. Oftentimes it goes much higher, and there are times it goes lower, obviously. But I alluded to this event on the 23rd. The price of electricity in real time, hourly price, was approaching $2,000 per megawatt hour. That's $200 per kilowatt hour. You know, we're paying 8, 9, 10 cents per kilowatt hour. So you can see that dynamic there. And so we are working in concert with our joint action agency, Michigan Public Power Agency, who helps schedule power with us and helps us with when we need to dispatch our on-system generation so that it's dispatched economically. The units that we have on system are saving our customers tremendous amounts of money. Just by, even if they're not operating, the capacity that they provide in reserve, that capacity provides value, and it translates into lower rates for our customers. So, you know, this is all about balancing those resources we have a portfolio, a power supply portfolio that's comprised of approximately 15% renewables, a percentage of higher percentage of fossil fuel base load, and then our own on system, and then we're buying power through bilateral and real time arrangements. So all of that to say, we are very mindful of the transient costs, and we're always on the lookout for low-cost capacity, low-cost energy, so that we can mitigate those issues with customers.
616-395-1450. If you have a question for Andy Boatwright of the Zeeland Board of Public Works, 616-395-1450. Good morning. You're on the line with Andy Boatwright.
Yes, I was wondering who owns the gas plant down there just north of Herman Miller.
Okay, that is owned by Consumers Energy. That's about a 900-megawatt natural gas-fired combined cycle generating facility. That is not our asset. It is not injected to – it's injected to the grid further away from us, but that is not part of our power supply portfolio.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. 616-395-1450. But in an emergency situation, can that be used?
No.
Okay.
It would be certainly they are subject to the same instructions that we receive from the grid operator, MISO. You know, in the event of a capacity shortage, such as what we experienced on the 23rd, they were in full operation, I'm certain, unless there was a maintenance issue.
Okay. I'm just thinking, not so much the 23rd, but when we had that massive power grid out, you know, we're talking 20, almost 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it affected everybody.
Well, and again, it's a function, maybe not necessarily the generation that's available, but also the grid, and in that case, there were cascading system protection devices that actually inhibited the ability to restore electricity, even from generating assets that might have been operational.
Frank questioned Andy Boatwright: could something that we experienced back in the 2000s, with the massive power outages that we were on the far western edge of it, could it happen again?
I'm never going to say never to a question like that. You know, I mean, anything can happen on the grid. I would say, though, that since that time, there's been a tremendous amount of improvement in terms of ensuring the reliable operation of the grid. I mean, to the extent that getting all the distributors, the transmission operators, the generators on the same page in terms of protection schemes, in terms of, you know, if you don't perform, you're going to be subject to penalties. And we are too, frankly. You know, that's getting people in stepping up and getting them in line. The weakness, I think, is what I've already alluded to, and that's the lack of baseload capacity, that we are not replacing fossil fuel assets that are being retired. We know about Palisades, of course, the nuclear plant, likely not to come back online, in spite of what you may be hearing in the media. Nearby Campbell, which is a coal-fired plant operated by Consumers Energy, some of our members have offtake from that plant. We do not, but that plant is retirement is being accelerated. So that's happening across the nation, and we're very concerned about that.
One other frank question, then we'll take a break, Andy Boatwright. And you touched upon a little bit by saying in the portfolio you have 15% renewables. One who does see trends in the industry itself, are you seeing the renewable energy industry making strides, making improvements to be able to step up to the plate as the fossil fuel and other forms of generating electricity are retired or basically mothballed? Are you seeing the renewables able to keep, you know, to step up and fill the breach, or are we still you know, too far behind on that?
Well, I'm what they call a Doug, a dumb old utility guy, and I'm gonna talk in perspective from that perspective. The fact of the matter is, as much as I support renewables, and they are economic, they are not sufficient to provide the baseload capacity that we need. They're intermittent in nature. You know, the sun's not always out, the wind's not always blowing. So you have to have a fossil fuel resource to back them up.
But what I'm what I was asking is, are you seeing the industry making strides and improvements?
Yes. The efficiency of solar panels and wind turbines have dramatically improved. Projects that we have subscriptions to here in Michigan, you know, these are solar sun tracking, arrays that can also generate electricity from the bottom side of the panel, so reflecting off of the ground, much more efficient than they used to be. That's great. Everything's great in regard to that. However, again, they're not going to be able to step up and provide that baseload capacity. And the other piece of this is we're finding that it's harder and harder to site these resources. It's a not in my backyard kind of thing. They do take up a tremendous amount of acreage. So you have to commit to acreage that won't be used for anything else for a period of 20 to 30 years. It's not a perfect scenario. This is a part of an all of the above approach. We need to include renewables in our portfolio. That's the right thing to do, especially if the price signals are there. But it's not sustainable for baseload.
At least not on January 26th,
correct,
2023. Let's talk 5 years down the road and see where we are.
Exactly.
Andy, in recent months, we have had issues with utility facilities in other states being targeted frankly, to use an old term, sabotage. The security of the facilities has become now a question as people are using attacks on infrastructure facilities to make statements. What about Zeeland BPW to make sure that the safety of the facilities itself and no disruptions can be caused by those who wish to make a political statement?
We're still learning about what transpired in the various instances around the country regarding the sabotage that you referred to. The advantage I think that we hold over those, as far as we can tell right now, is that our facilities are not extremely remote. There are eyes on them for the most part, day in, day out. We have security cameras on all of our substations. I know that's a reactive posture, you know. So the question is, and this is something we'll need to evaluate in the coming weeks and months, how much more hardening do we need to do on our infrastructure? There's a certain level of prudency here, right? We can't just throw money at it. We have to do what it logically makes sense. Is it putting walls around our substations? You know, that in and of itself isn't all that expensive, but I'm not sure is that going to give us the bang for the buck. That's a poor use of words, but
yeah, understandable.
You know, that we need to harden the infrastructure. So we're going to be keeping our ear to the rail on this and learning about it.
Yeah, it just seems as if certain groups that are taking actions that years ago would seem extreme now becomes, you know, the means justify they see justification no matter what they do.
Well, at the risk of sounding political, I'm confused about the motive here, because the outcome is detrimental to us all, even the attackers. You know, widespread outages are good for no one. So I don't know how well fortified these attackers are to withstand long duration outages in widespread areas, but it just doesn't make any sense to me.
And we're going into the realm of mental reasoning, and some might say they are taking a kamikaze type of attitude.
Exactly.
Where it does, the ends justify the means. That's the term I was trying to seek at. And we've seen it with protest people taping themselves to goalposts and soccer matches and stuff like that. Just no oil and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a different society, Andy.
It is. And, you know, it's a different, industry. We've seen so much change in over the last few years, and there's so much that we need to be aware of and be prepared for.
For more information about what the Zeeland Board of Public Works does, and if you are in the area that they do provide, the website is zeelandbpw.com. That is zeelandbpw.com. Andy Boatwright from the Zeeland BPW, as always, thank you very much for your thoughts and keeping us appraised on some of the developments involving in your industry. Wish you and everyone at the BPW not only well, but safety over the next few weeks as we get through winter. And we look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you very much, Andy Boatwright, on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC. CBS News with Deborah Rodriguez straight ahead, followed by WHTC News. Some stories off the beaten path. We'll have Patty Vandenberg, What's New, Ron Holland, in the next hour. And then we'll be joined by Ottawa County Commissioner Roger Bergman on 99.7 and 1450 WHTC.